I just ran.
Did you run so far away?
I ran all night and day.
But you couldn't get away, could you?
Couldn't get away.
It's a shame.
Last night, I had a dream about you. In this dream, I'm dancing right beside you. And it looked like everyone was having fun. The kind of feeling I waited so long. Don't stop, come a little closer. As we jam, the rhythm gets stronger. There's nothing wrong with just a little fun.
Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to Animation Station episode 10?
Episode 10, yes. 10. Episode
wow.
10.
This is an experiment for us.
I feel like this is going to be a fun one to talk about, though.
I agree.
I'll go ahead and say it.
So we are currently driving.
We decided to do an experiment on doing like an on-the-road kind of podcast.
Yeah.
I'll forewarn you, it is raining out right now, so if the audio is screwy, I apologize.
We're also recording in a car.
But we also, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, it's really rainy, we should go do something kind of fun, so we may as well do this en route to somewhere.
Yeah, we also need to record.
Yeah, and it's just like, I just don't really want to be inside right now.
Oh, I have no problem being inside right now.
Well, we're inside of a car.
Yeah,
so it's the same thing.
Anywho.
Anywho.
So this week, we watched Interstellar 5555, the Daft Punk movie.
Mm-hmm.
Based on
their 2001 album Discovery. It's the one that has Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, Aerodynamic, One More Time.
It's probably the one that you know the best because it has all their biggest songs.
It's basically
to Get Lucky.
It's like their version of The Wall, more or less, and that it's just the entire soundtrack done
over
a film.
A movie.
But this time it's an animated film and it's an anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's done by Toei Animation.
Yeah,
if you're familiar with Dragon Ball, and what else?
Man, I'm looking right now. They've done all of the Dragon Ball.
So many
Dragon Ball.
So many Dragon Ball.
No, they did.
You'll be making so many Dragon
Balls. You'll be making so many Dragon Balls. Oh, God.
You won't even know what to do with them.
The dragons, what now?
You shot who in the what now? But,
No, but they did that. They also did, not shockingly, Dr. Slump, which was Akira Toriyama's, one of his other very successful manga.
Mm.
So, they're pretty big.
Did they do Fist of the North Star?
I'm looking, and I don't know.
I thought they did 80s.
Okay.
That's pure 80s. It's basically, them doing Rambo. But,
it really is.
So we watched the movie, which is quite an experience, because, Robbie had never seen it before.
Yeah.
And, were you expecting it to be as kind of weird as it was, or in a good way, in a very fun way?
I didn't know what to expect because I had watched, is it Something About Us?
Yeah.
The scene where he's dying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoilers, man.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, this movie came out in 2002.
13 years late to the party, you guys.
Yep, sorry.
Anywho.
But no, yeah.
So that, I've seen that video before.
I'd heard,
That's like it.
I'd heard Aerodynamic used in a Gap commercial at one point.
Which one is Aerodynamic?
It's, the last, oh no, sorry, what is it called? No, I'm sorry, that's not Aerodynamic. The one that goes last night I had a dream about you, in this dream, I'm beside you, and I'm not. I should know what that one's called. It's not Aerodynamic, it's the one just after it. But anyway, I'm sorry. But no, I heard they'd used that ad, or that song in an ad campaign for the Gap for jeans, so it was the two guys from Daft Punk and Juliette Lewis in a weird Alicia Keys hat for some reason. They're just modeling jeans.
Why not?
Yeah, because sure, why not? And of course they were doing the robot.
Yeah, of course they were.
What else are they gonna do?
They're robots.
Yeah, I know, but it's too on the nose for me.
You gotta dance like a robot when you're a robot.
You just gotta. I don't know. I want one of those helmets, though.
Yeah, me too.
One of my friends made a costume of the guy that has, the visor that goes across his eyes, Jordy. Yeah, he made one of those for a costume. It was amazing.
I think Aaron was on Game Grumps was talking about that. A friend of his made that.
Oh, really?
And then just, gave it to him.
What?
And he was like, you put a lot of work into this. Are you serious?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's taken. He's like, oh, okay, yes!
Oh, man. I wish I knew both of their names off the top of my head, but they're so, so
yeah,
French.
I don't remember.
But
yeah,
no.
They're very French.
Anyway.
So the movie, so it literally, it just goes through the track list of Discovery, and kind of weaves a story throughout it, so...
Yeah, the entirety of the album is about 64 minutes, so a little bit over an hour.
Yeah, it clocks in right about there.
Yeah.
So it starts with, the movie actually starts with, like, on an alien planet where everyone has blue skin. It's, like, a whole bunch of people gathered to hear this band play, and they're playing, One More Time.
Yeah. They're at this super awesome concert where...
Yeah, yeah.
I guess apparently the band, it must be from that planet because they all look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're just rocking out One More Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to meet all the band members, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's Octave, Beryl, Arpeggios, yeah. And
Stella.
Stella.
Stella, who's the bassist.
Yeah, yeah. Arpeggios is the guitar player, Octave is the
keyboard
player, and Beryl is the drums.
And Beryl is just great.
Yeah, Beryl's
terrific.
Probably my favorite.
I really like Octave, but I like Octave too. I like his use of headbands.
They all have good headband use.
They sure do.
but
it reminds me of Garnet from Steven Universe.
Oh, when she does the goggles thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I see it. So...
But yeah, so they're playing this concert, and they're overheard by what I assume they must be cosmic police or something, or...
No,
they're spies. It's, yeah.
Are you talking about the people who kidnap them?
Yeah, those guys.
Oh, no, that's, they're, like, interplanetary, like, kidnappers.
Okay, oh, wait, do you think they're, like, bounty hunters? Because they must have, I guess their concert's being transmitted over
The band is pretty, I think, is pretty, like, popular, and obviously, like, that society has advanced far enough that they have, like, actual space travel.
Yeah.
So it's probably being broadcast out to even, like, the guy who's out on the guitar ship.
Does he actually have a name?
He does. I don't remember what it is.
I don't know. I just called him, like, Han Solo, basically.
It's something silly, like Latch or something.
Okay. We can call him Latch.
We're just going to call him Latch. You're all going to yell at us because we don't remember his name.
Okay. But you know what? If you're going to yell, really re-examine your life. Is this worth arguing about on the internet? Probably not.
True.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
So Latch.
So Latch.
That's who decided to call him.
Right, so he's out in space, but I think... My point is, I think it's broadcast out.
Yeah.
That far, at least. But, so as their concert's going on, these, like, interplanetary kidnappers show up and break in, steal the band.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they kidnap them in these little pods... And,
yeah, they put them in these weird pod things, then...
And transport them to a bigger ship.
Right.
While this is going on, Latch is out on his ship, which is shaped like a giant guitar.
Yeah, like a rocket guitar.
Yeah, like something certainly out of the 80s. Like, almost... It's not... Is it a flying V?
I don't think it's quite a flying V, but I could also be wrong.
It kind of looks like one, though.
It looks...
But no, yeah, so he's polishing it and everything, and then he... gets a distress signal, I think, where it's like, you have to go after these guys, they've been kidnapped.
Right. So he goes after them and follows the ship to Earth, and while they're en route to Earth, during Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger,
mm-hmm.
they're essentially like brainwashing the band to think that they're human.
Yeah, there's a montage that involves them not only being changed physically, like they're getting painted up, they're having their hair dyed different colors, new outfits, everything.
Like rewriting their memories.
Yeah, like it takes out like these discs that have their memories. Like it looks basically like,
a mini, like a floppy.
Well, no, it looks like a mini disc because my brother used to have a mini disc player back in like the early 2000s. Like
yeah, whatever those were a thing.
Well, no, just before MP3 players came out. Like it was a combination of a CD and a floppy drive on the same thing. But the cool thing about it was that you could burn music to it. So I don't know if that was just them showing what their of what the technology of the day was like, or it's like, this will be around later.
I think it was probably the second one. Like, yeah. This seems like it... I mean, kind of...
It would be like us using 8-tracks now to record this with. Or well, it's like, we could do it. It would just be incredibly impractical.
But yeah.
And archaic, and we would have a hell of a time trying to transcribe it, so.
Yeah. Though 8-track is actually for a long time, was a very strong recording method.
Yeah, no, yeah. But it's also antiquated. It's antiquated at this point. Like, now it's still, like, it's, I guess it's still considered a collector's item, but it's, I don't know. If that's your bag, man, go for it.
Weirdly, I think we have a ton of 8-tracks in my basement.
Do you think they'll go under the same resurgence that vinyl did?
No.
We'll just keep them anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want to convert them into, like, flasks or something. Like, give them a second purpose. Something cool. I don't know.
I'm into that.
Well, hey, like, if they can do it with NES cartridges, then why not?
My friend got me one of those.
Did she really?
Yeah, I have an NES flask cartridge.
Cool. What was the original game that was on it?
I don't know, because they actually made their own sticker.
Oh, wait. Actually, no, that's somehow better.
Yeah.
I wanted to get one of the Tetris ones. We saw some at C2E2, and I was like, I kind of want to buy that.
I missed that.
You missed that? We were there together.
Alright, how about this? I don't remember that.
Okay, fine.
That's probably more accurate.
That's fair.
So they get to Earth, and that's when I think we start to see the villain of the movie, whose name is Lord... the Earl of Darkwood or something?
Yeah, the Earl of Darkwood, yeah. I think that's what it is.
Who has, like,
big,
the most...
silly hair.
The most amazing anime villain hair and eyebrows.
He looks like a kind of paunchy conductor, but he's got really crazy hair. Like, he's got, like, Dr. Wily's hair from
Dr. Wily's hair, he's balding, and it's all over.
Oh, wait, what about, how about Robotnik's hair, but dyed white?
I would say closer to Robotnik's, except, again, like, balding.
Oh, no, sorry, that's his mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Robotnik doesn't have hair.
You're right.
I'm trying to think of an analog,
but he just has, like... If you can imagine, he has, like, slicked... It's, like, slicked back, and then it curls up...
Yeah.
...into, like, a million points.
Like, if Edward Scissorhands had a widow's peak and was slightly balding, and his hair was white. Like that.
That's what we're gonna go with.
I mean, that's the most fitting metaphor I can think of right now.
But it is just outstanding 80s anime.
So perfect.
Like, I know it was made in 2000, but I honestly didn't realize that when we watched it.
I mean, because it's designed to look like a sort of weird 80s-ish film.
It does, like, man. It looks more like something I would expect to see in the 80s.
Well, that was Toei's heyday, where it's like, it makes sense, or that's the kind of vibe that they're going for.
Yeah, so. I mean, Toei's still doing fine.
No, yeah, but Toei. The whole influence... The influences of, you know, Sailor Moon or Dragon Ball Z, right? It's mostly just like, look at all these, like, crazy colors and everything. That was very much of its time.
Yeah.
And a lot of that time was in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, that's also, I mean, like, two of the storyboard artists I could find, one of them worked on, like... Evangelion,
mm-hmm.
and like, or he worked on the movies, so he worked on like Evangelion, You Cannot, something, I don't remember the name.
That makes so much sense though.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that fits.
It's like, yeah, I could totally see that.
Oh man, they're still making that.
Evangelion?
No. Evangelion, they might actually still be making the movies. I don't know.
Really? Still?
Well, it's a whole.
Hasn't it been, like, a while, though? I bet it's been over 10 years.
Yes, it has at this point, I think. Yeah. But, I mean, Evangelion's, like, kind of a weird thing where, like, they intended to end it one way, and they couldn't for some reason, so that's why the movies came in, and they've tried to push it more in the direction that they wanted to, so, like, the movie kind of ends differently than the show.
Were they trying to do, kind of what Firefly did with Serenity? With what they're doing with Evangelion?
Not quite, because it's a remit. Like, the movies go over the same basic plot.
Oh.
It's just some things are different.
Are they retconning themselves?
I guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That's fine, whatever. Do your thing, guys.
I mean, retcon at this point is, like, everywhere.
That's true. It's like, most of the franchises that we know and love are all nothing but retcon.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at, like, any comic book.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? It's been retconned numerous times.
Yep, pretty much.
Oh, what were we talking about?
Alright, so the part that we left off the story was, alright, so, we We got super
Sorry,
creepy.
We jumped off topic.
That's fine. We got, okay, As so we've, we do. We've got super creepy conductor with weird hair.
Right.
He's implanted control devices into
each of our heroes. Which are attached to their weird sunglasses.
Like sunglasses or glasses, something like that, that has a tracking device on the inside of them that is helping to control them.
Yeah, and I think it keeps them subdued, because if you notice, they're brainwashed, obviously.
Yeah,
so
totally.
But they're very almost comatose.
Well, they're very docile and obedient.
Yeah.
To the point where it's all they are basically end up being trained to do is
they just go and record.
Yeah, they go and record, and then they
perform.
They record under the name the Crescendals,
right?
Which is another name of one of the songs.
Is it?
Yeah. Crescendals is the one when they're in that gigantic concert thingy, the big arena thing.
When the
you know the song that goes, everybody go, hey.
Oh, the one go.
That's gonna sound really weird out of any context.
Is. You mean when Latch comes and saves them?
Yeah, when when this is not at the award ceremony. This is at when they're at that.
No,
gigantic,
no, he doesn't.
Oh no, yeah, that's right.
Right, because there's two.
When Latch comes to save them at the gigantic bull concert where he just comes in on jetpack or something.
Yeah, jetpacks in over the crowd.
He's
who
just
seems
whatever.
totally unaffected by this.
Singing, good Lord knows how many different hairstyles that people spent a lot of time on. Latch.
Oh yeah, right? And we also see in the montage
and
of them.
Kids,
yeah, they're little baby versions of the
Crescendals. Even though they don't realize that their heroes have been brainwashed by a megalomaniacal record. Dealer guy.
Yeah, no, okay.
Not
so can
record
we
dealer,
can we,
recording magnate, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, well, can we talk about that real brief?
Yeah, real quick.
Because when I was watching the movie for a substantial portion of it, probably about 50 minutes of the 60-minute movie, I was like, I don't understand this villain. Why is he kidnapping people to bring them to Earth to make money?
Yeah.
He may just completely
subscribe to the idea of capitalism. I get it. I totally get it,
but I just don't understand.
It's a weird trait for a villain to have.
I think it's a weird trait for an intergalactic.
Obviously he benefits out of making money off of these people and have forced them into essentially slave labor.
Well, yeah, but it's revealed at the end of the film why he does this.
Yeah.
But throughout the movie, I was just, so confused.
I was kind of curious, is this guy just evil, or is he just in the business of making stars?
The greediest man alive.
Is this supposed to be a metaphor for the same guy that created both the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC? This is the same guy. He was, I forget what his name was, but they micromanaged all their careers so much to the point where they had to be constantly working, have all these products made around them. But a lot of the band members in NSYNC were later we eventually just had to get away from him because it was too stifling and we felt that it was a very abusive work environment because they were treated like cattle basically.
Yeah, I mean that's unfortunately.
You don't treat Justin Timberlake like cattle.
Oh.
Right? He is beautiful and I liked him in The Social Network.
Oh, he was good in The Social Network.
Yeah, you were getting really close for a second. I'm like, and then as soon as I mentioned The Social Network, he's like, you know, I'll let it go.
I'll give you that concession.
I'll let it go. I don't know. Well,
no,
plus
but
he's
I mean, that's
also
like,
really good in SNL, but that's beside the point.
He is pretty good. that's bubblegum pop, right?
Yeah, been the case since the Beatles, basically. Before that, maybe even, I don't know.
No, because the Beatles really launched, the boy band.
Yeah.
They are really the first boy band.
Yeah, but we would have no One Direction or whatever. Oh, Jonas Brothers or whatever happened. Can you believe the Jonas Brothers was, 10 years ago? Isn't that crazy?
I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
Here's the thing.
We literally have a boy band every 5 years.
Shoot.
Yeah, we do.
Wait, who was in between the Jonas Brothers and...
Jesse McIntyre, maybe? Well, I guess he was more of an idol than anything. Justin Bieber. He's not a boy. He's not a boy band, but he's a boy who was in a band.
He was
a band.
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe, well, regardless,
but he filled a niche at one point. So
hey, so did Kiss.
Yeah, they sure.
I actually love making fun of Kiss.
Wait, this is something new. I didn't know this about you.
Because Kiss is as manufactured and fake as Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, any, like, bubblegum pop idol. They were just bubblegum pop produced for metal.
Yeah.
And I love...
Oh, man, that's,
and
a, like, that's a really good point.
That's 100% true. And so, like, Gene Simmons, for some reason, thinks he's worth anything. But he's the same manufactured garbage as any other pop star, but he tries to act like he's above it.
I feel like this is kind of getting off the rails a little.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just didn't know you had such a...
I have very strong feelings about how little I like Kiss.
You know, I have the same thing towards Will Smith.
Really?
I will not make any friends for that.
Well, all right. As a musician or as a...
As a musician.
Okay.
As a musician.
Fair.
I think I just don't like how... I feel like he's too forcibly family friendly, and I hate that he's ruined all my favorite Stevie Wonder songs. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I can never listen to I Wish again because I immediately start singing Wiki Wah, Wiki Wah, Wiki Wah, Wild West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider, No, You Don't Want Nato, and I can't get it out of my head, and I hate him so much for that.
I think we can argue that this is still on topic. Because the movie is ultimately a just Daft Punk movie.
It is. But, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like,
we might be a little off the rails. Sorry, guys.
Our disdain for Kiss and Will Smith alike. Let's get back to the story.
Right, so...
They're,
like... We get this montage of them on Earth.
Well, yeah.
And then at this one big concert, Latch shows up and he has some kind of weird gun thing that breaks the mind control devices.
Tunes them out and they shoot out of their heads, basically.
Yeah, so he's able to...
It's not graphic, but it's just kind of gross, like, knowing that that was in their brains before.
I thought it was just attached to the glasses, like, on the rim.
No, I thought, like, it actually implanted themselves into, like, their temples or something. It kind of looked like it did.
I mean, because it is right... It's, like, right on the arm there.
Well, yeah, maybe it's put in there and there's some kind of electric impulse that triggers into their... synapses or something?
Yeah, because, like, when, I remember when I was looking... There was something weird about the glasses themselves, like, the way the lenses looked.
Well, yeah, the way that all of their lenses were tinted, and I thought that the device actually went into their heads.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it did.
Well, whatever, but...
Regardless,
yeah, anyway,
Latch breaks it on three of them, Octave, Beryl, and Arpeggios.
All the dudes.
Yeah.
Stella is...
Well, yeah, because the Earl jumps in between Stella and Latch, and so they retreat, like, he runs off with the three of them, and then it's, like, another montage of, like, essentially the Earl parading her around as, like, a model, almost?
Kind of, yeah, well, she's brought to a bunch of public functions, like, one of them is, them at a fashion show,
which was super funny.
Well, yeah, which is really funny.
Weird little dude.
But what's weird is that they, I guess they try to turn her into, like, an icon or a diva of some sort, I guess.
Yeah.
Which works to an extent, but Stella is clearly really depressed. Like, she has clothes, like, admittedly very nice, very pretty clothes, put onto her like she's a Barbie, basically.
Yeah.
Like, she has no thoughts or feelings or emotions of her own.
Although, there is the one scene, I think... After the fashion show, she's given a dress, and,
which we both said wow to.
Yeah,
I
know.
We both oddly said,
wow!
Like, she, it totally fit her, and it was very cute.
It certainly was a garment.
I just wasn't expecting to get that impression from a cartoon, and I'm like, wow, that thing's really well designed.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
But she finds, like, a card that has, like, Darkwood Manor, and then, like... 0555 or something like that on it.
Was it like a phone number or an address or something?
No, I think it was supposed to be like a date and time.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's where he was gonna have his weird hoodoo ritual thingy, I guess, whatever it was.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, his
something
weird
like that?
World conquering ritual he was going
whatever
for.
Whatever he usually does on Thursdays, I don't know.
Thursday at 7 o'clock, he watches Everybody Loves Raymond.
And then afterwards, he has a ritual. He has a ritual killing.
You've got to get it out somehow.
And makes a new head goblet. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Sure. It's Thursday, man.
So then at a big record ceremony, like, where he gets because I guess he's the producer or the manager, they give him the gold record, along with her,
at like the Grammys or something? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Maybe.
Or in, it might just be better if their album goes gold. Well, like, does he only shoot to get gold records?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's
would think that he would want them to be more popular so he could get platinum records.
You would think so, but I guess he's out for gold.
Ah, fair enough. Only looking for 250,000 records being sold?
I don't know.
What is gold? I don't know. Whatever.
I'm not the right person to ask that question to.
Robbie, what is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me.
No more.
No more.
It might not be the right time. I might not be the right one. But there's something about us I want to say. 'Cause there's something between us anyway. I might not be the right one. It might not be the right time. But there's something about us I've got to do.
The musical, it's a musical day here in this car.
Well, as it should be.
Yes.
But no. So, all right. So, yeah. So he's out for getting gold records.
Right, so they're at some kind of award ceremony in which he gets a golden record because we see Daft Punk and then like
they're in
a couple
the audience.
Other...
They're like, yay!
Yeah, great.
they're all dressed up. And they've got like hearts and question marks on the guy with the gold helmet's head.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? What's going on?
My favorite was the one with the like the across the visor. It just was like, great.
Yeah, I know. I wish it just said, yay, yay, yay.
Yeah, right. Just scrolls.
That would be so perfect. Where's the bathroom?
I'm very lost.
I need one more cocktail. Robots don't drink.
They don't.
Or do they? Well, Bender does, but other robots don't.
Speaking of drinking, you know what? I'll save it for later.
We should drink. Not while I'm driving afterwards. No. Yeah.
Another time. Regardless, while they're at this ceremony, Beryl actually is able to... We skipped a part. During the chase scene.
Yes. When Latch frees them, he gets all the guys.
And he gets shot.
And they go into his dope van.
I think he stole that van.
A dope stolen van.
It's the way Latch operates.
Sure do.
So they flee in a van and he gets shot. Mm-hmm. And then when they free her at the award ceremony, they... bring her back to, like, a warehouse.
Mm-hmm. It's just some kind of safe haven, I guess.
Yeah, it's, like, somewhere that they can hide out.
Yeah.
Where they've got Latch, you know, held...
he's dying.
He's clearly dying. He's got a hole in his chest.
The wound was pretty fatal, so they've got him holed up on what's essentially...
Like a makeshift bed.
Yeah, like, literally a deathbed.
Yeah.
And he really likes Stella.
Yeah, he's got like a poster of her on his, because they were pop stars in their planet as well. So like his whole room is like covered in their like.
Well, not
memorabilia.
Covered. Like,
well,
he's not like a stalker. And he's not some.
No,
kind of psycho,
but I mean like, he's got a bunch of their memorabilia around.
Yeah.
And then he's got like a big poster of her on his ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Which I assume is like he wants her to be the first thing that he sees when he wakes up and goes to sleep every night. So.
Yeah,
nothing gross. I hope not.
I think it's sweet. In a weird way. In the way you're thinking of it, I think it's sweet.
I'm sorry. Maybe my mind's in the gutter right now. I don't know. But it's generally in the gutter.
I was just going to say, it usually is.
I need to not have it be in the gutter as much anymore. It's really becoming a problem.
Have you considered giving it a good wash?
What? I thought you said, have you considered the good Lord?
That's usually my answer. Have you considered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Pulls a Jesus statue out.
I thought you were just going to give me a Jehovah's Witness manual or something. I've got a Book of Mormon.
You know, normally...
And then they didn't stop coming to my house, and my mom was like, why are these Mormons here? And I'm like, I don't know.
Wait, no, this is actually a thing my brother did once, is...
Became a Mormon?
No, Mormons came to our house when he was a kid, and he invited them in and was talking to them. My mom came home, and she's like... Who is in my house?
Oh.
And he was like, Mormons!
Oh, neat. To be fair, they're usually very nice.
Yeah. Well, my brother at the time was very religious and very, knew his stuff, so he was...
Was he having an actual debate with them?
he was trying to, like, shoot down all the inconsistencies in there.
I feel like this would have been really fascinating,
It probably would have been very amusing.
My brother, then the Mormons leave in a huff where it's like, this is ridiculous. I didn't come here to be argued with by a child. I came here to convert a child. Oh, I don't know anything about Mormons.
I know enough.
Yeah.
So, they bring Stella back to Dying Latch.
Yeah.
And,
this song, Something About Us, is playing.
Yeah.
Which is so great.
Yeah, it's...
So great.
Probably my favorite on the album.
It's probably my second favorite.
It just hits me in a certain way.
Yeah, me too. It's just, it's just so nice. Yeah. But yeah,
There's this really sweet, like, sort of, like, fantasy scene with Latch and, Stella. Which they're, like, on an alien world dancing, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There we go.
So they have that dream, and then, the band drives out to the country, I guess.
Well, you know, they got the address for, Darkwood Manor.
Right, but first they drive out and bury Latch.
Yeah. For which song was it? Like, there's a very nice, like, driving montage that happens. It almost looks like they're going through, like, Switzerland or something.
Yeah, we were debating. We couldn't figure out where it's set in.
I thought maybe they landed in Germany originally or something. Like, it looked, or maybe Italy, I'm not sure.
The countryside looks very European to me.
Yes, quite European. It's not just because of all the windmills and the flowing fields of grasses and stuff. There's no wheat, so we know it's not in the Midwest or Russia, but... Well, at least I'm spitballing out, but
yeah. So then after they bury him, then they go to his spirit. We literally see his spirit ascend.
Yeah.
As like a red ghost or something.
And a bunch of what appear to be fireflies or wisps or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like a bunch of like really nice flowers bloom.
Yeah.
And then they go to Darkwood Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's during, like, Veritas Quo, I think is the name of the song?
Yeah, Veritas Quo. Yeah. Oh, no, that was written on the paper, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was written in the book.
That's the name of the book that Darkwood has in his manor.
Yeah, so when they go into Darkwood, they eventually find this book that says Veritas Quo.
It's very, like, Scooby-Doo and Goonies once they get
there.
It is
a little bit.
Well, because they've got, like, it's what you would assume a haunted mansion would be, where there's a bunch of, like, secret doorways and long passages, cobblestones everywhere, regardless of what room you're in.
Weird.
Like, they have a cobblestone ballroom. It was very impractical.
So many broken heels, so many broken ankles.
Fractured ankles.
It was grim.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah, so they're in there, and the book is meant to reveal what Darkwood's deal is,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he, like...
Is he, like, a devil worshiper or something? Like,
it's like...
There's people with cloaks.
Because I was reading online, looking at the plot synopsis, because that's the only thing... I couldn't find enough, like... I was disappointed by the amount of trivia I didn't find.
What, on it?
On this movie.
Really? Not even on, like, Wikipedia or something else?
That's what I'm saying. I was looking at that.
Well, no, the trick is you're only, like, three little trivia snippet things on IMDb, from what I remember.
On the IMD.
On the IMD.
So they, his thing is meant to be, like, he's, if I remember correctly from the movie, like, it was the guy who looks like Darkwood now looks like and a kid, and then, like, the guy gets crushed, but the kid survives and becomes Darkwood, and this is back, like, way, way back in time.
Yeah, what era would you say it was, maybe?
Oh, man,
Was it, like, well, because...
What do you call it? Like,
what I was wondering is, because there's a pretty elaborate...
Post-Baroque?
Yeah. Well, no, because I thought there was a very elaborate montage, so, and one that looked like it took place in the Renaissance. So, like, how old is this guy?
That's the point.
Yeah, like, so he keeps living on forever by... You know, no, he has, like, prodigies or something. Like, his business is finding musical prodigies.
Well, yeah. So that's the first one we see, is he kidnaps some alien and then turns them into Mozart.
Yeah.
Because
wasn't there another scene that involved... It was Fitzgerald, Jimi Hendrix...
Jimmy Page,
I think, yeah,
and one more.
Like,
there were, like, four... There were four of them that we see.
Weird Al Yankovic.
If only.
No,
100% Earthborn and grown.
And we don't want him to die.
Also
we certainly don't want him to be an alien, though it would explain how his career has been so consistent.
Yeah, that would actually be
clearly
kind of
he is some sort. No,
we're on to you, Weird Al.
We get you, Weird Al. You're not gonna get away this time,
Weird Al. Weird.
Weird Al, more like Beard Al.
I was gonna make a joke like Weird Al weirdly finds our podcast. I'm like, but he is weird, so
yeah,
it makes sense.
That's true.
Well, anywho.
Anyway.
Enough
of that garbage.
So we find out that Darkwood has been producing these prodigies, which is just kidnapping aliens and then turning them into, like, erasing their minds and turning them into humans.
Which would explain how unnaturally talented they are.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's quite an interesting story he weaves.
And so with each one, he's collecting a gold record, and I guess the goal was to collect 5,555 gold records, and then somehow, with his ridiculous setup that he has in the basement volcano,
he becomes a wizard.
He would become the ruler of the universe,
I guess.
I don't really understand.
I don't know why, where it's like,
I mean, there's no dialogue, so the,
this is all we're just kind of trying to infer, I suppose.
Yeah, like, everything is just trying to figure out.
They
find out about the ritual, and they go down into, like, his basement, and I'm pretty sure Darkwood Manor is built on a volcano.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
there's
lava.
Yeah, well, it almost reminds me a little bit of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. You know that scene where they put...
Absolutely.
Where he puts the guys into the,
that weird
cage dealy, and he rips their heart out.
I gotta watch those movies again.
Watch the first three.
Yeah, wait. There's a fourth.
Yeah, exactly.
Question mark.
Exactly. Yeah. The fourth one did not happen. We went over this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. So they're in the volcano basement.
Yeah.
And
volcano basement.
That's what I'm calling it.
It's like the worst version of Home Depot, the volcano basement.
Build your own basement.
It's
volcano.
Like, we've completely eradicated any use for garbage disposal. We just take it down to the volcano basement. It just constantly incinerates all these objects, regardless of the amount of horrifying air pollution that it releases into the atmosphere. At least you don't have to worry about getting rid of those old deck chairs.
Conveniently, we've built a smokestack that goes out of our house, so we don't have to deal with the noxious fumes. The town does.
America does.
So they're in the, like, where he's doing, like, a ritual, and he has, like, a bunch of robot... worshippers? I don't know.
They look like they're members of, you ever seen Eyes Wide Shut?
No.
The Stanley Kubrick movie? Anyway, well, there's this collective of people. They're all wearing cloaks and masks and stuff because they're all there for some kind of weird...
I mean, it looks like a cult.
Adult proclivities. Yeah. Yeah, which is essentially a cult.
Yeah.
So. It's like a cult, but they're all robots. You should see it. It's a good movie.
I'm trying to remember I'm thinking of something else. Maybe.
Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, Stanley Kubrick.
Nope. Yep. I've seen parts of that.
Yep. You might have seen the part I'm referring to.
I have.
I'm sure.
So, so the robot, they kind of subdue the band, and then try and put Stella into, like, this weird column of fire to kill her.
Which happens to be woman-shaped, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Or have all of his victims have childbirthing hips? I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, have you looked at Jimi Hendrix? It's a bad joke.
And no, I haven't. He wasn't around in my time. I wish I could, but have you? I'm just imagining Jimi Hendrix is like just having really like a big
just
butt,
like
a really big butt. Like, I'm not against that idea. It's just like, oh, yeah.
All right, why not?
All right, why not? Maybe that's why his tops were so flowy. He was self-conscious about his great badonk.
His fantastic badonkadonk donk.
Oh, that's gross. That's gross.
That man is dead.
He is dead. So anyway.
So they, through the struggle, they end up chucking... They don't chuck him, but
he gets tripped.
He, like,
into
trips,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I think he trips over, like, barrel or something, or, like, something,
I don't even
something
remember.
Forces
yeah.
him into the volcano.
He ends up falling into
the... because he had gotten the record.
He's like,
he kind of like Elsa at the... I need to stop making so many references to 80s movies today. This is number five, I think.
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, all right, well, you remember that scene in Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade? Where Elsa's reaching for the grill, and she's like, I can reach it, I can reach it. And then she's like, ah, because she falls and dies.
I don't.
Okay, well, that kind of reminded me of that. But just imagine that the weird portly conductor is Elsa from... Raiders, sorry, Indiana Jones. I'm getting my Indiana Jones movie screwed up now.
How dare you.
Man, I want to... Oh, baby Ethan on board. Okay.
Oh. So he ends up falling into the volcano, and then all the robots freak out and fall, jump in with him like lemmings.
Daddy, no!
Oh, father, we must save him!
What else are we going to serve if he's gone?
I mean, probably.
Other people? No.
How dare you think such a
thing? He raised me from a microchip.
From the Darkwood Manor, they learn that their memories have been stolen, so they go and try and get their memories back from the record company.
Yeah, because Octave notices that, what was it? There was, like, a briefcase or something that held all their memories in it.
There was, like, a note that said, like, memory discs.
Yeah.
On it.
It, like, literally says memory discs.
Yeah, and so he's, like, where, like, they're trying to figure out where they are, and they... I guess they figure out that they're at the recording studio owned by Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. Who actually seems like a pretty decent guy, and I don't think he
works with Darkwood because Darkwood creates lucrative musicians.
He's like, well, at least this is job security, no matter how evil it is.
I don't care how evil this guy is.
I mean, honestly, haven't we all been there? Working for an evil overlord that manufactures gold records to manipulate and brainwash a bunch of innocent aliens
into
becoming the most famous pop stars in the universe. We've all done that, haven't we?
Oh, buddy, if I had a nickel...
I'd have 10 nickel.
Wow.
I'd have enough to buy an ice cream. And if I had enough copper-plated nickels...
Why are you clamping them in copper?
I don't. Well, because what else am I going to do with all these copper reserves?
Make pennies?
Well, no. I thought pennies are mostly made out of zinc now.
Now they are.
With copper.
Now they are.
Now they are. That's why they're worthless.
They are.
Pennies suck, man. Anyway, we were talking about a movie.
Boycott pennies, everyone.
Boycott pennies. Boycott pennies. Not JCPenney. Actual pennies. Oh, we're the best people. Third time I've said that today, too. I'm sorry. I think I get a little bit repetitive when I'm clearly distracted while I'm driving.
Oops. Oh, God!
Oh, no! That oh, hurt. God, there's blood everywhere. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. My butt is sore, too.
No.
I'm sitting too long.
So they go back to the record company, and while... Octave is stealing the memory discs.
Yes.
He gets caught and tased. And I guess something in being tased caused the skin dye or whatever to wear off.
Oh, that's right.
Because
that's
he turns blue
again.
And so then
I
they
about that.
Yeah. And so then they bring him to a hospital, and when he wakes up, everyone knows
that they're aliens.
Yeah, because I think they looked at the memory discs and were like, oh, okay.
Because the doctors restore all of them back to what they were.
Yeah.
So Arpeggios and Beryl and Octave and Stella all get turned back into what they were before.
Yeah, so they're blue and they get their clothes back.
Which, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like their outfits, but I preferred their performing outfits.
I really liked their headbands.
I did too. And their orange leotards.
Yes.
Oh, no, they weren't leotards. They're orange uniforms, I guess.
Yeah, outfits of some sort.
Damn, man, orange, white, and blue? Various colors?
Yeah, it worked.
Happening.
So, someone found Latch's guitar ship, and they repaired it. And then...
Oh, and then they board it again.
Yeah, they board it and launched into space to go back home. And, like, as they... when they're launching, we see a scene back in Darkwood Manor, which crumbled and some kind of weird black energy.
I think it, like...
It's supposed to be, like, the Earl of Darkwood has...
Like, his...
Absorbed into a new form or something.
Or his soul's been vanquished from not being at the house anymore.
Yeah, like, so I they...
Kind of like what happened in Rocky Horror.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Well, actually, no, I think that house had rocket boosters or something.
Yeah, I think that was actually a spaceship.
Whatever it was.
Spaceship.
It's a weird movie.
Yes, it is.
Spaceship!
And so when they go into, like, this portal that... It's like a it's like a wormhole from like just out like the other side of Mars to their planet.
Yeah.
As they're going through it, this weird energy force follows them and tries to like trap them and kill the ship.
Oh yeah, no, it was I guess it must have been like Darkwood's soul or
something like that.
That evil, horrible thing that consumed him or whatever.
Yeah.
So. Demon. We'll call it a demon. Yeah, whatever. Demon. That's fine.
It tries to contain them, and then Latch's soul shows up one last time to stop it.
He's like, no, and then he just vanishes.
Yeah, and then they both kind of disappear.
Yeah. And Stella gets misty-eyed, because she's like, oh, he really cared about me a lot. Like, yeah. That's so sweet.
And so they go back, they get home, and then they, what's the song?
Oh, Too Long. The one at the very end.
Yeah, was that Too Long?
Yeah, I think so.
Which one was Up in the Air?
Huh? When they were flying?
Was that?
I think it was the same thing. Well, no, because... Which one? What were the... Here, sing part of it.
Up in the air, up in the air.
Oh, yeah, I'd like...
Is that the stadium?
Into the air, into the air, that part. Yeah. No, I think that was...
Was that when they were launching off?
Maybe.
I don't know, it just...
Well, whatever it was.
Sorry, it popped into my head, no, and I couldn't remember where...
So the last song that I finished off is the one that goes like, too long, can you feel it?
Yeah, that's
can
right.
Can you feel it?
Yeah, and they have that triumphant return, which is actually like a really cool
scene.
Yeah,
it was great. Like, and I love their super, like, the super weird, like, 80s montage thingy that they have at the very end, where it's just like, wind power, like, kind of like what happened in Captain Planet. You know, where they have, like, a transformation thing where it's like, barrel on drums.
Yeah. No, that's exactly like, what I'm talking about. I love that.
I do, too. I was like, I was really hoping that they would do something like that.
Yeah. And
it's
then...
like, lots of, like, twirling and them using their hands and bodies in such a way, like, the camera's, like, following them and stuff.
Yeah.
I just love those scenes. They're so fun.
Yeah, it was very well done. And then, it kind of, like, fades or something, and it's the Daft Punk record spinning.
Yeah, and there's in a kid's room. Or something, yeah.
And he fell asleep playing with his toys.
And they're all, like, it's, like, all the Krishan dolls and Darkwood and all Latch and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even got, like, two plushies of the Daft Punk guys.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cute. I want those.
And then his parents tuck him in, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, it was it felt a little bit longer than it actually was, but I think that's just because the story and the pacing was just so well done.
I think like, because it, like...
It was so concise because of the album, where it's like, there's, like, maybe a couple breaks or something in between songs, but not long.
Yeah, no, not
no
really.
No longer than, like, 20 seconds, I would
and
say.
And they had to, like, yeah, I think because it... You know, you had to piece together the story yourself.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, it probably felt a little longer than it was.
They wanted to give you a little bit of breathing room, because there's a lot of action set pieces that take place, that I was like, man, this is great.
Yeah, so it was a...
You know, like, overall impressions of...
Overall, I mean, I really liked it. I loved the animation and the style of it, because it felt older than it was.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. Like, there's a special... place in my heart for old anime like Gundam and like Dragon Ball and things like this. So on that level, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, what did it for me is just like the soundtrack itself. Like Daft Punk's Discovery is probably in my top 10 favorite albums of all time. Like I wore that album out. I was obsessed with it. Or it's like I went through some of my older music that I used to like Eiffel 65, which does not hold up. Not really. But then I went back through, like, Daft Punk, and I'm like, this is fantastic.
Still good.
At least some of my taste was good at that point. So, but yeah, like, I think it's just, like, the album itself, I think, is just a masterpiece, and the idea of putting it to music, almost like Fantasia, would just work so well.
Yeah.
It's just, and the amount of heart and personality that they actually put into these characters, I thought was pretty astonishing. For how short the film was.
Yeah, I mean, like, we get a surprisingly good portrait of all the characters, like...
Mm-hmm. And they never say a word, because the movie is just the soundtrack. Yeah. There's no dialogue or anything in it.
Yeah, so I think it's another one of those good movies that has no dialogue.
Yeah. I think, but that's good storytelling, because if you don't have any words and the audience still knows exactly what's going on, that's just a really well done story.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that. Like, that's
Well, it's the same principle as like a well done like picture book or a comic or something where you don't necessarily have to have words for it.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Even though we'll probably do another movie that has words in the next
year. Yeah, I think that's... I mean, we kind of need a break.
Yeah, I think we've been getting a little bit burnt out on doing silence, even though I really like them, but after a certain point, I'm like, we need more to talk about. Like, well, because then you miss out, like, on snappy dialogue and stuff.
Yeah, well, so. I think also, like, it's
Man, we should do The Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
We should do that.
Also, I think it's just, like, the nature of, like, a movie without dialogue is you have to be 100% engaged, 100% of the movie. And that's fine, like, that's a good movie, but, like...
And that's not to say that we're going to go on autopilot, but sometimes it's like, I want a little bit of dialogue to break up the monotony.
Yeah.
Silence, it's just... At least.
I don't know, like, this is going to sound weird, but, like, I want something that... I'm just going to say...
No, go ahead.
I think I'm interested right now in something that...
You want a narrative that actually asks
my respect, or... almost earns it, as opposed to something that says, like, you have to stop and watch it, you know? Which is, again, is fine. Like, I've enjoyed both of these movies.
Well, I think that there's a certain give and take that we have as both, like, viewers and when the creators are making stuff, too.
Right.
Wherein it's, like, it's not necessarily... I don't know if it's necessarily about respect, but it's, like, it's a certain amount of time and attention that you can pay to something.
Right.
Where
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said respect. I should have said attention.
No, yeah, I mean, that. But the same thing. It's, like, it still applies.
Yeah.
So...
But yeah, so we'll probably do something with actual dialogue next time. just because we've been watching these silent films, which again are great. It just, you burn yourself out on things if you watch them too much.
This is true.
So,
I do like to rewatch things a bunch, but after a certain point, I'm like, you know, 15's probably enough.
Yeah, it's a truly rare movie that I can watch many times in like. A short span of time.
Well, yeah, because I know some people that never rewatch movies. I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say that that's kind of, like, weird to me, but it's like, if there's a movie that really sticks to me, or something where either the message behind it, or the way that it's done is just so memorable, that, like, I would want to revisit that just to be like, okay, now that I've seen it, it's like, how did they do certain things, or did I miss something
during the first viewing?
You know, like, I don't know.
I get that.
I like rewatching stuff, because if you really appreciate something, then watch it again.
Yeah.
And then see if there's something that you missed.
I agree.
I know. Well.
So.
Yeah. Do we really need to talk about the soundtrack? It's like, I mean, if you like Daft Punk or like.
Yeah, if,
music,
I mean, if
you're going to love it.
If you like Daft Punk or if you like anime, you'll probably enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
If you like anime and hate Daft Punk.
It's like a giant AMV.
It is. No, it absolutely is.
With much better editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less dissolves, less cut to white,
less unnecessary text,
less mixing of characters from different fandoms.
God, I kind of love those though.
I don't mind them.
I've
seen a lot of, if they do really good masking for them. Like I just saw one with Peter Pan and Ariel. it was not terrible. It wasn't bad. The editing was pretty solid.
I think it was a multi-ship video, but one of them was Hades and the guy from Mulan.
Yes.
The main guy. I've seen that. Where like when he takes it off and then you see Hades like.
I've seen that gif where he's like, oh yeah.
I've seen that. So good.
I just saw a gif of that. Was that an actual AMV or what?
Yeah, someone actually made that an AMV.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's one of those like beautiful train wreck things.
Because why not?
Yeah. You just gotta.
If there's a niche for it, it's gonna happen.
That's true.
You know, I bet there's gonna be one for Xibalba from that, or from Book of Life in Hades.
That would be good.
That'd be perfect.
I'm certain that
there's been some kind of fan art made for that.
Certainly.
Yep.
God, it's amazing. It's an amazing world we live in.
It sure is. No way. I guess it just depends on your definition of amazing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
so that's Interstellar 555, Secret of the something system.
Is there anything else that we left out? Like, is there anything else we wanted to really touch on? Like, I don't know. I think that's, I guess that's that's a bad... Oh, do we want to contrast at all, like, when Daft Punk had also done the soundtrack for Tron Legacy? Well, I mean, but you haven't seen
it. Yeah, I haven't seen it,
where
so
it's
I
like,
can't really...
Where, like, people say that the only reason that Tron Legacy is memorable is because of the soundtrack.
Oh.
Which is rough, I mean, but it's like, that and Jeff Bridges is in it again. And he has a beard, and he's like, he's kind of like the dude and a yogi mixed together. Not Yogi Bear, like a yogi.
No, yeah, I got you. I got you.
So,
I mean,
that'd
I
be
do
a
love...
very weird movie.
I would.
Yogi Bear! Yeah! Jennifer!
I've come to steal this picnic basket.
I'll be on my way. Just let me take this picnic basket.
The yogi just wants his picnic basket, yeah. Dude.
Put down the gun, Yogi. We can talk this over.
Oh, God.
No,
I'm just thinking of, like, the dude as Yogi Bear. Or the Yogi Bear as the dude, however you want to parse that out.
I don't know.
Either way, I love
Yogi
it.
Yogi is the dude.
Yogi is the dude.
That bearskin rug really did tie the room together. It also does make him kind of awful, though. I'll say that much. Where it's wow, you killed Boo Boo to make that rug.
You killed all these sailors.
How could you? He trusted you.
Man.
I'm sorry. I think I've got a dark streak today. I don't know why. Man, I haven't watched nearly enough happy stuff today. Which isn't true, because I... Well, no, actually, no, it is.
Kimmy Schmidt's kind of happy, kind of dark.
Yeah, I watched some of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I watched two episodes of BoJack, and I watched...
Oh, yeah, you were dark. See, now I was the opposite. I was watching Starburst Forces of Evil all morning.
Oh, my gosh,
so
which one?
Bright rainbow puppies all morning.
Did you see the one with Princess Ponyhead? Is it Unicorn Head?
Unicorn
Head.
Yeah,
Princess Unicorn Head. Oh my gosh! The fact that I found out that she's voiced by Jenny Slate, who's also Mona Lisa Silverstein.
Oh my god!
I know. And as soon as I figured that out, I'm like, that makes so much sense. And I adore Jenny Slate because she is so freaking adorable.
She is cute.
She's great. I love her.
All right. I think that's it for us, cats.
Yeah. And we should review Star Wars: The Force.
We should absolutely.
I mean, because new episodes are coming in June.
Oh, wait, are they on hiatus, too?
Yeah. Well, they'll be back in, I think, a few weeks, probably.
Same with Steven Universe.
Steven Universe, and then in July, we have Gravity Falls. So yeah. We've got some serious cartoon watching ahead of us, which is no different than what we already do.
Yep.
So.
All right, guys.
Well, yeah.
I think we're about done on this movie.
Thank you for indulging us with this experiment. I hope that the audio is not too grody.
Yeah, I hope that it's
at least for this last maybe half hour or whatever, it should be fun, because once we got into the city itself, we didn't have to worry about being on the highway or anything.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's it. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoy this. Definitely check out Interstellar 555. Regardless,
at the very least, listen to Discovery.
Yeah, just listen to Discovery. That's all. Like,
man, it's a good album.
It's a great album.
I'm sorry, I knew it as soon as I said it. She's like, "It's gonna be great."
It's a great album. No,
get it right, Robbie.
How dare
God?
How dare you have different taste in media than me? Why don't you just kill yourself? No, I can't even finish that.
Oh my gosh!
Like, no, seriously, like, just check it out. It's so good.
It's definitely worth a watch.
What the?
Good job, buddy!
Sorry, some person in front of us is being an idiot. Anyway.
So, you like Daft Punk, you like anime, give Interstellar 5.5 a shot.
Really, it's just...
I mean, just like Daft Punk, give it a shot.
Basically, if you like space, you like colors, you like anime,
yeah, you
like solid music, you like guys with weird hair that look kind of like conductors from the early 1900s. Sort of like when Bugs Bunny is making fun of a opera singer or something. You remember that one? Where he's, like, pretending to be the conductor, and he's, like, having, like, more gain! More gain! And he keeps slapping his front palm when the opera singer clearly needs to breathe. So, yeah. Check it out.
Give it a shot.
Yep. I think you'll dig it. So.
Have a great whatever day you're listening
whatever
to this.
Whatever day it is. Right now we're recording this on the weekend, but
always.
A very rainy day in Chicago.
Yes.
But I think you'll dig it. So thank you very much again for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Yep.
We will talk at you
next time. Bye.
going on? Could this be my understanding? It's not your fault, I was being too demanding. I must admit, it's my pride that made me distant. All because I hoped that you'd be someone different. There's not much I know about you. Fear will always make you blind.